Welcome to the Arts and Antique Radio Show, where your host, nationally recognized certified appraiser Elizabeth Stewart, Santa Barbara's treasure sleuth, will help you put a value on the treasures in your own home.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
So let's find out. How valuable is it?
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara. It's your chantress of everything valuable and beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart. I've got a special thing happening. I just want to do a quick announcement before we get started with our main interview, which is two of the stars of the new show on an ensemble, Dracula. And it's been getting incredible reviews. And I've heard a lot of people talk about it. And so we're going to talk with two cast members in a second. But I want to introduce Liliana to the show to talk to us a little bit about the tango invasion that's happening in Santa Barbara recently with Nomad Tango, and they're a special group that I love to support. First of all, we're going to have on October 23rd, El Cachivache. I've interviewed them, and they're like the hottest Buenos Aires tango group possible. And they'll be performing at Soho with Spencer the Gardener. And then Lauren Woods and Catherine Ricardo, a female-on-female tango dance partnership. So the Milongo is going to be at Soho Wednesday at 6 p.m. for dinner and 7 p.m. for the show. And then really interesting, Ali's doing a class on musicality with Cachivache October 22nd. 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Carrillo Rec Center. That's the Tuesday. And then a really special thing that we've already covered, Richard and I, on this program, Rodney Gustafson and Nomad Tango are presenting a ballet and tango show at Soho November 10th at 6 p.m. for the dinner and 7 p.m. for the show. And I had Rodney on the show not too long ago talking about this. Rodney is long, long time head of Santa Barbara Ballet and just an accomplished dancer. And Ali got together with him and they're doing a collaboration. So Liliana is here. Liliana, tell us a little bit about what's happening.
Well, I think you've said it all. I'm the development director for Nomad Tango because we are a nonprofit. So all of the events that we do, we try to make them affordable for the community, but also we really appreciate getting the visibility, Elizabeth, and helping us get the word out there. Many of our events are donation-based. So in essence, we're a production company supporting the culture and the art of Argentine tango with a variety of shows and performances, from Grammy Award musicians and bands to high caliber tango performers, a mix of ballet and tango, all kinds of variety, not just tango dancing for the community, for those that dance tango, but also for audiences like when you go to a ballet. You don't have to be a ballerina to go to a ballet. You go and you watch. And so a lot of our events have to do with that, promoting art, promoting Argentine performing arts culture. And like Elizabeth said, we're doing El Cachivache on October 23rd with a dinner show at Soho. But the conversation with Cachivache has been changed to Monday, okay. October, what is that date? The date before.
It's the 21st.
Yes, Monday, October 21st, because that's when we have our community practice class, and we want to include the community that comes to our practica and then others. And this will be a very special connection with Cachivache, talking about what's going on in the world of tango bands. What is tango? Why such a passion worldwide for tango? What does it mean for people? And it's a very exclusive conversation because rarely do we get to connect with artists at a personal level like this.
I just went
to the Granada and heard the interview yesterday with the famous chef, And this is going to be something similar, except it'll be with the Cachivache band and what they have to share as artists with this whole genre. And so that's on October 23rd. And then on November 10th, we have, like you've mentioned, a collaboration with State Street Ballet. They're going to do a very small piece on bolero, a pas de deux on bolero. And then the Argentine performers will be doing a showcase. This is two couples. And then there is a young man, 17 years old, who is a prodigy in the dance world. And he will be part of the performance doing aerials, very amazing stuff. This is the kind of stuff you would see at UCSB Arts and Lecture, you know, that kind of caliber. So we're very excited. And that will close our season. And then in January, we start up with our new season. And we're just starting to get visibility in Santa Barbara. The Tobes Foundation, Santa Barbara Foundation, we have new grantors. We've started writing grants. So we're just becoming to have more visibility. So any support is greatly appreciated. So please join our events.
And it's so much fun. It's you know, this is a really interesting, Nomad Tango is just a really interesting not-for-profit and so much fun. And they've actually, I meet people all over the community that have danced with you guys. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to say goodbye to Liliana. But before I do, I just want to say that David Eltzer is with us. And David actually recognized Liliana. We can see each other. You guys are listening on radio, but we can see each other. He recognized it. Said, Liliana, I danced with you. Actually,
yes, David and I danced tango.
That's so interesting. So he's one of the stars of Dracula. Liliana, thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, love the group. Richard, I tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to introduce both stars, and then let's go to quick break. First of all, I mentioned that David is with us. Oh. It was so much fun to look into David's background.
It's Casey.
Casey. Oh, Casey, I'm so sorry. I'm reading my notes at the top. It's from your publicity agent.
Yeah.
Casey Alder is with us and Regina Fernandez. They play multiple roles. They're lovers, of course, Jonathan Harker and Lucy at Dracula. Casey is an accomplished actor. He's been on all kinds of popular networks, Netflix, ABC, Showtime, Freeform. He has a BFA in theater and a minor in world religions. Now, how about that for change? and he's a musician, an actor, a writer, et cetera, et cetera. He graduated from Chapman. He created the Actors Circle Ensemble with his mentor and two Chapman graduates and fellow company members. And he went on to play the role of Murph in The Indian Wants the Bronx. And he appeared as a recurring guest star on Freeform's critically acclaimed show, Bunheads. So talk about interesting in dance. Very cool.
Right. That's right.
Very cool, Casey. And you write in the entertainment field with your sister, Carrie Alder. They wrote the children's book together, Yorkietown, partnering with Drag Queen Story Hour, Ryan Seacrest Foundation, and Gelson's Markets. And he's a musician with a group called Purple Jacket. And he's accomplished and very unique guitarist. And here's the tie-in with Liliana and Nomad Tango. He plays Spanish guitar.
I do. I will say I don't play necessarily Spanish guitar style, but I do play the Spanish guitar. I love nylon strings. Actually, Regina and I just started creating music as well together. She has an unbelievable voice. She's in a ton of musicals, and we just started writing a musical as well. But really quickly about Bunheads, a funny story. They were actually looking for a great dancer. And as Liliana can attest, I am not. As I was stepping all
over her. You're pretty good.
I was stepping all over your feet. You were being so kind. She was the one that was leading. I was kind of just like her baby in her arms. And but in Bunheads, for the callback, they had like all these great dancers from So You Think You Can Dance and all these other amazing shows. And I just remember like the casting director saying, just smile, you know? So I was terrible in the dancing callback, but they ended up changing it to this like klutzy dancer who gets the girl. So not great. I can move, not great.
Well, that's it's a testimony that actually you're trying tango as well. That's so cool, Casey.
Thank you.
And I want to introduce Regina Fernandez. There's too many credits in her bio for me to mention, but I just want to do a couple regional theater credits. Of course, Dracula, right now playing in Santa Barbara, A Comedy of Terrors. Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, The Comedy of Errors, Cinderella, Christmas Carol, House of Joy, Peter and the Starcatcher, Around the World in 80 Days. These are just some of the plays that she's performed in, starred in. The Secret Garden, Antony and Cleopatra, Miss Saigon, 9 to 5, 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, The Full Monty, The Original Tempest, Sense and Sensibility, All My Sons, The Diary of Anne Frank, The Moors, Guadalupe in the Guest Room, Sabrina Fair, It's a Wonderful Life, The Radio Play, and The Drowsy Chaperone. And the credits go on and on. As far as skills and training, she is also, just like Casey, kind of an all-around musician, performer, actor, just an amazing and beautiful woman. First generation Filipina American, born in New Jersey, raised in South Florida. She's based out of Los Angeles and New York now, graduate of the University of Central Florida, BFA in musical theater. And she's pursued many different, I mean, she goes from musical theater to Shakespeare, to Meisner, to Stanislavski. And then most recently, she's worked for Amazon Studios, NBC Universal, Nickelodeon, the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, and the Denver Center for the Performing Arts. And we are so lucky to have her as the star of Dracula, the love interest, Lucy of Dracula, by the way. And just is really, really cool to have her here. And Regina, thank you for coming on. Now that I've introduced you guys, I want to go to quick break, and then I want to talk a little bit about your experience in the show and, you know, what you're doing and how you're getting into your roles and your character and all the above. And like I said, you know, this is an incredible show. I have 4 pages here of critical reviews, all of them fantastic, by the way.
I would love to.
All of them fantastic. And then there's a lot of things happening around the show. I want to know if you are listening to us, there's all kinds of pre-show talks, cocktail nights, all things that you can get involved with, tea talk before the show, a matinee show, and a dramaturg is going to talk to us about the show as well. Then a really interesting thing is, I think, a remarkable thing, Pride Night. Pride Night is testimony to the commitment to the theater fostering an inclusive and welcoming environment. Pride Night is October 24th at 6:45. And then the post-show talk back immediately following that show. And the list goes on of community events around Dracula. So it's an amazing thing that the theater's doing this sort of outreach. Let's go to quick break, Richard. And then enough with me talking. I want to talk with Regina and Casey about the show. So go to quick break and don't turn that dial back in a minute. We have with us Casey J. Alter and Regina Fernandez, and they are the stars of Dracula, A Comedy of Terrors, October 10th to the 27th, right there, Ensemble Theater. The play is by Gordon Greenberg and Steve Rosen. It's directed by Jamie Torselli, and we've got the two stars with us. Talk us a little bit about the play. How does it deviate, Regina, from the Dracula that we know from films?
Well, it's frighteningly funny. If you are not laughing, then we're not doing it correctly. It's 90 minutes of us doing everything we can to make the audience laugh, but also staying very true to the essence of the original Bram Stoker version. But it's not scary. I mean, you do have those moments of like the send up of different things, like you're hearing wolves. It's a very scary ambiance. But other than that, it really is a marriage of Monty Python and the Mystery of Irma Vep and Rocky Horror Picture Show and everything that you love about Halloween camp and gay camp all mixed into one.
And so as far as, you know, what I'm interested in is the Dracula figure. I mean, it's such a compelling photo of you and Dracula. It's an amazing, you are sexy as can be. And and it's just wonderful, the promotion photo. What's it like to perform that kind of a role? I mean, tell me more about your performance and how you prepare for it.
Absolutely. I think what's different about this version of Dracula, you usually have the fainting heroine, right? Is the original love interest of Jonathan Harker. What Steve Rosen and Gordon Greenberg have done is they've switched it out to have Lucy Westfelt, the very smart, funny, strong best friend, and they've flipped it and put it her into that role. How I go about attacking her is I find that I do bring a little bit of the 1930s Mina that we know from Bela Lugosi's original 1930s Dracula, but I also put a little bit of Rachel Weisz from The Mummy in there. You have a would-be adventurer who's really plucky and tries her darndest to help the rest of the group figure out what exactly is going on at Withering Manor.
Yeah. So the as far as the costuming goes, how did you? Yeah, tell me about the clothes. What do you wear?
For sure. Oh my God, it's all lingerie specifically for Lucy. It's very well fitted. Marcy Froelich, our costume designer, absolutely brilliant, had a very specific idea of each of these characters in mind. On the first day of rehearsal, we had our table read, but we also had our designer presentations. And she brought in all of her renderings of every costume, as well as the celebrities and the characters that informed her vision of each of these people. Like, what was it for Adam Hagenboom? He's playing Dracula. He is influenced by Freddie Mercury. From Queen. He's influenced by all of those great rockers from like the 1980s, but a lot of black and a lot of leather. For Mina Westfelt, my sister, for Joshua Odzis Rubin, it's all light colors, pastels, all the romance that Mina sees in her everyday life, but like put on steroids. So she had such a clear vision, and it's such a gift to be able to move in those clothes. From day one, we had so many pieces to work with. Like, I wear this long white robe that is reminiscent of Christine Daae's robe in The Phantom of the Opera, and I had to learn how to work with that as a dance partner. It was like Argentine tango, you know? At the very beginning, I was getting so caught up in it, and I was letting the robe wear me versus me wearing the robe. Living in that space and living in that character. So it's such a gift. It's another character as part of the show, her designs.
So can you tell me more, Regina, about your best friend's sister type role and yourself? Tell me how that works in the show.
Ooh, best friend sister type role. Tell me more about that. Ask me a little bit more.
Okay. All right. So you've got Amina and Lucy kind of thing going. So, tell me about what's going on with that.
Oh, so Mina, our version is, she's a dreamer. She's also everything feminine in the world put into one body. So Joshua Odzis Rubin, who plays Mina, who plays my sister, he does such a beautiful job of creating this very sensitive character, but also making it very funny and very attainable and accessible. And then you have the other sister, right, who is headstrong, who is very book smart, who's very quote unquote nerdy, dorky. but in a very refined way. And then you put the two of them together and it's just this really lovely mashup of the Westfeld sisters. I think in the original novel, no one really notices this, but they have such a deep love for each other. There are sections of the book where you have letters between Amina and Lucy and how much they love each other and how much they are wishing they were together and being able to talk about this. So Goren Greenberg and Steve Rosen have gifted us the opportunity to be in the same space.
I get it. Okay. So yeah. Richard's giving us a quick sign. We have to go to break. And I want to talk about Jonathan Harker, and the classic Jonathan is kind of a scholar, kind of a scientist, this sort of kind of, that's the classic Stoker Harker. And I want to know how that turns around and becomes funny. And I really think that Casey can tell us how that works for him in the show when we get back from the break. Richard, let's go to quick break. I'm talking with an actor here about creating the role of Jonathan Harker in Dracula. And I have to mention that Casey J. Alder decided at the age of 5, after watching the movie Jaws. Can you believe this, dear listener? He watched Jaws and decided to become an actor at the age of 5. Now, how do you watch, Casey, a film like Jaws, where the star is a shark, and decide to become a star?
I love you so much. You are so thorough. Oh my God. I vividly remember watching Jaws in the living room of our home in Chula Vista and just being so mesmerized by the storytelling. It's truly a great film, other than it being a spectacle film of the day. The writing is extraordinary. The dialogue, the characters are incredible. And I remember like pointing, and I obviously I didn't know what I was pointing at, but I was like, I want to do that. In terms of what Roy Scheider was doing as an actor, Roy Scheider, Richard Dreyfuss, and who's the Robert Shaw, just being, I think I watched that probably like 20 times when I was 5 years old, and I did get very scared of pools. Yes, that is true. My grandmother had this very deep, like 10-foot pool, and God, I would always think the shark was going to come out and just chomp my legs off.
Her swimming pool.
Yeah, it was a swimming pool. It was a swimming pool, exactly. But I ever since 5 years old, I ever since watching that movie, I wanted to be an actor. And I didn't start acting until middle school. But I knew that was what I wanted to do.
Fantastic. And just before I talk to you about how you created the role of Jonathan Harker, I want to know how world religions and Bachelor of Fine Art, how did that come together for you? I mean, this is an interesting topic for me because my doctoral work was in world religions as well. And so I'm interested. Yeah.
Okay. Mine's a minor. We're not going to put each other next to each other. I went to Chapman, and so I was getting a BFA, and we also had to get it was like a core curriculum. It was like, I forget the exact term of what they use. But so you had to have like 4 classes in the specifically core. But I kind of finagled it in a way where like I could get a minor by like ticking off these core and getting some other classes. So it was just a way to have a more of an emphasis on another topic, which is of interest to me. I do really like studying and reading about religions, and because it's storytelling at the end of the day. It really is. It's theatrical in so much of its ways it tells its stories. I took one class on Buddhism, a class on Hinduism. We took an overview, a Catholic, is that a priest? Was it a Catholic priest? I can't remember, but He took us to a mosque, a cathedral, a synagogue. We went to an AA. It was like, it was a really beautiful overview of the way people practice their spirituality. And I loved it. I come back to it every now and then.
So, so now this is a segue into my original question is how you created the role of Jonathan Harker, because of course, when I saw that you studied world religions, I was thinking, of course, of the myth of Dracula and the undead and how that is, counter opposition to sort of the mythology of the savior. So, you know, this is just a really interesting idea of, you know, and then I'm thinking, well, here's Casey creating the role of this scientist that has to solve the myth of good versus evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so tell me more.
Well, I wish that was a part of it, but in our version, our playwrights turned him into a real estate broker.
Like I said, good versus evil.
Exactly. Well, so I'm just going to meet Count Dracula in the Carpathian Mountains at his castle to help him purchase homes in London. So it's far less scholarly and of interest, but far more funny. But in terms of like getting into the headspace, I certainly, just as an actor before every performance, I kind of do this focus exercise, and whether that's like a spiritual exercise or an energy or just getting in a place where I'm both grateful for being here and helping to take this audience on a journey to learn something about this story that has been so that has continuously been told for over 100 years, just like a story from a religious text over 4,000 years.
Well, it's very interesting because you mentioned that, you know, a priest taught you your world religion class. There's a lot of underpinning to this Stoker story, Catholic dogma. And there's a lot of that but of course this is a comedy of terrors.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So this is a funny take on this. I'm interested to know, since you're an accomplished musician, you play piano and guitar. So I've always wanted to ask an actor this question, but an actor and let Regina also accomplished musician, does the musicality help you on stage? Okay. Regina's shaking her head very much. So yeah,
100%.
Absolutely.
And especially with comedy. Because comedy is so about timing, and obviously music has a very specific rhythm to every single song. There's a specific rhythm the way you play it, not even just hitting it on the beat, but also the way you strum it, almost like you're like making love to the guitar, you know, at least that's how I view the guitar. But comedy is so specific. If you do not say your punchline in almost the exact same breath every night, you can hear a difference in the amount of laughter.
Absolutely. The way that you tee it up, it's and being in a room of 5 accomplished comedians that are not only great accomplished comedians, but great actors. The fact that they know their script analysis so well, that they know how to tee up a joke so that we can knock it down. Like that's integral to a piece like this. It's such a farce. That's all jokes. And like, we can be joke, right? We can be funny, bit. But it all has to be rooted in honesty. And being musicians, I think that helps with the musicality, especially when you think about musicians who are in Shakespeare, because they have that iambic pentameter, right? It's the heartbeat, and that drives the storyline. Gordon Greenberg, Steve Rosen have created a vaudevillian version of the Dracula story. So it's up to us to tee it up and knock it down.
So would you explain what tee up means?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So you have like You have your first part of the joke.
Set up.
Your setup. And then?
You have your punchline. So I also do stand-up comedy. And so, like, you have a very specific setup. And that can be 10 words, 5 words, 8 words, whatever it is to actually teach your audience that we are going in a specific direction, create expectation in their minds. And on your punchline, which is typically your last word or two, that is breaking the expectation and creating surprise. But typically both the setup and the punchline are connected by an idea that has two or more meanings. So for instance, this very simple joke, this could help your audience understand it. My grandmother never used glasses. Okay, so we're creating the expectation that she never used glasses, eyeglasses. And the punchline is, she drank straight from the bottle. Okay, so glasses, obviously it's a stupid one-liner, it's whatever, but it's a very understandable joke in terms of teeing up and punchline. Glasses is the word that actually has two or more meanings, and that punchline works. It breaks expectation, creates surprise, and hopefully the audience laughs.
I get it. Okay, so that's what tee up. Go ahead, Regina.
I think something that I really love about this cast specifically as well is not only the script analysis and the joke construction, but the physicality of this piece is so well choreographed. Jamie Tortellini, our director, is not only an accomplished director, but he's also an accomplished choreographer. He's been on Broadway and multiple shows, and he brings this wealth of physical comedy knowledge. And I think something that I really love about what Casey does specifically is this is a Jonathan Harker that is in his body. And like he tells the story. I would know exactly what's going on with Casey on stage as Jonathan if I turn the sound off, just by what he's doing physically. There's one bit that I love to watch off stage in the wings is when he's with Dracula, he's with Adam in this scene, and he has to like scale the mountain that is Dracula and then like wrap around him like a tree. And no other Dracula would you see Jonathan Harker climbing another actor. It's very vaudevillian. It's a very burlesque. And this group of actors is so physical and they work so hard. We do anything that we can do to pull out all the stops and make the audience laugh. That's the objective.
So, okay. I'm going to ask a question and I'd like an answer when we get back from the break, because Richard's giving us a sign. We got to go to quick break. But I have a great friend from my high school days. We had a group of people that we hung out with. We were all in theater in high school. And so there was a bunch, 15 of us, and we still are friends. This was back in Chicago. And we started off in our gang, started off by painting scenery for Steppenwolf Theater downtown on Rush Street in Chicago.
Wow. Yay.
And so that was way back when, I mean, you know. And so we started off with them, and we used to, all of our gang used to love to go to watch improvs.
Yes.
That happened at Second City and at Steppenwolf both. So, both were just starting off when we were, I think, sophomores, juniors, and we were helping with just any odd body thing we could do for either performing group. One of our gang has continued on through Northwestern, where he studied acting and took his master's. He has continued on in the Chicago tradition of improv and wrote us yesterday that one of our gang said, I really like to get back into acting. What do you suggest? You've been in improv now for 40, 50 years. And Jeff said, well, I would suggest that you start with improv, because when you and another performer get it right, there's no high like that high. And he said it's totally, improv is such a collaborative meeting of minds that I would start getting your chops back by studying improv. And I want to know what your reaction is to that vis-a-vis Regina's comment, the cast. We've got Casey, Jana Cardia, Regina, Adam Hagenbusch, Josh Odess Rubin. The cast are all accomplished comedians. And I want to know how that feels vis-a-vis this comment. You know, there's no high like the high you get when you bounce off of another actor. And want to know what the answer to both of your thoughts on that. Richard, let's go to quick break. Welcome back. I'm speaking with Regina Fernandez and Casey J. Alder, both stars of Dracula, performing at the New Vic, downtown Santa Barbara. And my question for both of them before we went to quick break was the idea that they're performing with five wonderful comedians on stage. They're all the actors that are in the show are trained in comedy. How that feels to work with a trained cast of comedians. Let me start with you, Casey. Since you do stand up, how does that feel for you?
I am floored every day. The first day that I did the reading, the table read a month ago, I felt almost a little like I need to be a little better because they were so funny. I mean, I'm still dying every day. Even in performance, I have to like sometimes mask my smile because these actors are so extraordinary. I've never been in a cast where everyone is that hilarious on stage and off stage. Truly like the kindest, funniest cast. Everyone has done some kind of improvisation. I do stand-up comedy, funny characters. Josh has gone through the Groundlings, which is the preeminent improv character-based acting school that SNL often brings artists from. It's just a stacked comedy cast where every day you are constantly having to bounce off each other's ideas and going into the idea of improv. Oftentimes every performance, some mess up is going to happen. And that mess up, just like in jazz, is only a mess up if the next note, I forget how Miles Davis puts it, but the next note is what determines if it was a mess up. So for instance, the other night, my glasses fell off as I was climbing the tree of Adam Hagenbusch. And I need those glasses for the next scene. Otherwise, it's going to ruin the blocking. So I blurted out, I can't find my glasses, which is not a part of the script, but I needed them. And that Adam could have easily have just continued on with his next line and completely disregarded my improvised moment, or what he did, because he's a great actor and comedic comedian. He went with me for a few beats and a few lines until I found my glasses, and then he left the scene, and the original blocking returned.
Okay, so you bring up a really interesting point, but before I ask my next question, I want to go to Regina to ask her what that's like to perform with a bunch of other super talented comedians.
Oh, it's such a gift. It's an absolute gift every single day. I think your friend put it perfectly, that if you want to get back into acting, you need to get into improv. Specifically, I am a huge advocate of heralding the long form improv that you can find in Chicago, because like you start off with a theme and then by the end of it, you have a beginning, middle, and an end of a project, a story that you created together as a group. And I think that's very similar to the magic that we all found with each other in the rehearsal hall. Because something that we say to each other before the show starts is like actively listening, be honest, be funny, be fast, be furious. But listen to each other. And it's that glorious rule of the yes and, right, that you learn in improv, that you cannot negate your partner. You have to be in the trenches with them. Lift up. Yeah, can't find his glasses. We found the glasses. And then we're back on script. And it's really funny. And the audience can sense that we're all together creating this piece. And not only like the five of us, but in tandem with the audience and the community that is in that room at any given time. Like, that is the original intent, right? That we're all gathering together to experience this 90-minute laugh riot celebration together. So I think
got it.
Absolutely called it, for sure. Improv.
So Richard, do we have one more break? Okay, I want to take that break now because this is my next question for you guys. You know, having been in set design and you know, doing that kind of a work, I have seen the total chaos before the show actually opens. And so many times, even with some of the best directors that I've worked under, what's so interesting is that you're like a day before the show opens and you say, this will never work. It's just not going to work. It's just not going to work. And boom, it works. Yeah. I don't know what happens. There's like this magic thing that happens.
Yeah.
And I want to know more. I want to know in this performance of Dracula, if that was the same kind of feeling, if it was like, oh my God, we're just not ready. We're just not, it's not going to work. We're not ready. We're not. Anyway, that's what I want to ask when we get back from the break. Don't turn that down. Back in a minute with the stars of Dracula. I'm speaking with Casey J. Alder and Regina Fernandez. Don't turn that down. So before that quick break, I asked our two stars if they would reflect on this phenomena that I noticed, you know, having been behind the scenes, various theaters, that there is a chaotic moment that you are, as a performer or as any kind of a member of the cast or crew, you're thinking it's not going to come together. It's just not. And I wondered if there was a moment like that in this performance of Dracula. And Regina, would you? Yeah, you're laughing, so you must have something to say.
Every
go ahead.
Night, Elizabeth. Every night, there are a million quick changes that we have to do, where we're jumping from character to character within a line. There's one particular change where I have to go from a vampire hunting outfit into a, spoiler alert, a wedding dress, and I'm just hauling butt to get to the stage to like enter, and like all of it makes it so alive because you're hoping that it all comes together. So yes, every performance you will see us sweating, making sure that we're getting to those costume changes.
And certainly I felt this right before opening, right before our first preview, actually. I remember chatting with Regina going, this could go one way or the other. It could be, you know, because this is unlike drama, where if no one's making a sound for 2 hours, you don't know if they don't like it. But in comedy, if there isn't a laugh in 5 seconds, you know immediately it didn't work. And a 90 minutes without laughter could be really killing to the soul. So... I do really recall us talking about how this could be a gigantic face plant, because we really take some swings, huge swings,
huge.
And it could have been a smash. But that first preview, God, the audience was so ecstatic. And then I remember we all walked off the stage telling ourselves, okay, we have a show.
We have a show.
Okay. So just one final question, and then Richard's saying we have to say goodbye. But is there a line, or is there you mentioned in the preview where, you know, the audience loved it, loved you, and loved the show? Is there a line that you thought would never get a laugh that gets a laugh, or is there a line that you thought would be a howler people would just be totally laughing, and it doesn't get a laugh.
There's two moments.
Okay, go ahead.
I have two that no one ever laughs at. That is really kind of annoying. So if you come to see the play,
laugh at it.
Laugh at these two moments. It's one, the line is, I summon the courage to do something that I've never done as Jonathan Harker before. And Lucy says, you don't have to, be safe, sweetie, something like that. And I say, that may be the one thing you don't have to worry about. And I see, you're not even laughing. Okay, clearly it's not funny, but we thought it was funny in the rehearsal. And then the second one, it's more of a improvised thing, but I do this like quick run on off stage, right onto the stage. And I stop in my tracks when I see the hideousness that is one of our characters who's been bitten by the vampire. And I do this funny, I do a face. The director throughout all of rehearsal was crying, laughing. He had, talk about setup. He set me up to truly believe everyone was going to laugh at this. I haven't had one single laugh at this moment. I don't even think the audience knows what I'm doing.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So, Regina, do you have the same thing going on? Yeah.
I want to talk about the opposite, where there's one line that I say that is an homage to Mae West. And it's just so delicious. And I found after the show, when I walk into the lobby and I see audience members, that's the first thing out of their mouths is they quote the one line that I say back to me. And I think that's super cool. Really?
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, just big shout out. Thank you guys for coming and talking to us about Dracula, a comedy of terrors. And, there are tickets available. The show will run till the 27th. Of October. And so, there's all kinds of, you go online, you can discover all kinds of talks and talks with tea, talks with wine, talks with dramaturgs, talks with the scholars, et cetera. And before and after the show, there's opportunities to speak and ask questions, et cetera. But it's I was amazed last night at all of the wonderful reviews the show's been getting, fairly new press on top of it, that it's really, really quite a hit here in Santa Barbara. Absolutely. Take a look at Dracula, a Comedy of Terrors at the New Vic and then the Ensemble Theater. Thank you both for coming.
Thank you for having us. You.